Welcome to the Denker Capital podcast, where our highly experienced team of in-depth thinkers and other experts share their insights on a range of investment-related topics. In this podcast, we have conversations about developments in South African and global markets and what these may mean for investors. We analyze specific stocks and sectors and explore general themes relating to the fundamental principles that underpin sound investment decisions in an ever-changing world.
Welcome to the Denker Capital podcast. Today is Monday, the 29th of March, 2021. With me, Nigel Barnes, and I'm joined today by Claude Van Kuyk and Jan Mankies from the Denker team. Claude is a founding shareholder of the business and manager of the Denker Sky Equity Fund. And Jan is part of the multi-asset team, an analyst within the SA Equity team, and also manager of our Small Cap Opportunities Fund. Welcome, guys. Reaching the end of Q1 2021, I know that you've both been busy with a ton of results activity. Claude, give us some of the standout themes and things that you've noticed from the last few weeks.
Yeah, thanks, Nigel. We've certainly met with a number of companies over the last few weeks, especially those companies that have now recently reported either the interims or finals for the period ending December. And we were also fortunate to attend the Bank of America Merrill Lynch conference a week and a half ago, where we saw almost 30 companies over a four-day period. So a lot of interaction with management teams. And if you look generally, some of the themes that are coming out, I think SA companies generally have managed the crisis pretty well. It's something SA managers are pretty used to dealing with the crises. Fairly aggressive cost cutting that we've seen across the board. Delayed CapEx plans have also led to improved balance sheet and liquidity. And most of the stocks are sort of recovering, we think, pretty close to the pre-COVID levels of sales and profits. And if you cast your mind back, you know, almost a year ago, where a lot of market commentators were talking about a three-year recovery period, where companies would get back to pre-COVID levels of profitability. We've certainly seen that happen in a much shorter period. So some of the trends and the themes, just to highlight on the retail side, there's been a big push on the online sales, fast-tracking that strategy. That in the medium term should certainly benefit the retailers with improved trading densities, lower rental costs, and ultimately de-gearing of balance sheets and hence improved earnings over the medium to longer term. The lower end consumer also benefiting substantially from government subsidies. That might be a risk in the sort of shorter term as this benefit falls away for some of those companies faced with the lower end sort of retail exposure. And the last two trends that I'll comment on will be on the home improvements and the DIY side. That sector certainly benefited from consumers staying at home, so the likes of Cashbuild, Buildit, which is part of Spar, and Italtile have all benefited substantially from that trend. And then finally, just on the telco side, with increased demand for data as consumers are now working from home, the telcos have pretty much come away fairly unscathed. So overall, I think the tone has been pretty optimistic, but there might be a few concerns with a third or fourth wave, but time will tell.
Great, Paul. Thank you.
And maybe just to hand over to Jan for a few comments, because there are a couple of sectors that I didn't address that you can talk to.
Yeah, Claude, I'll make a few comments on the financials. And I think it's safe to say that overall the financials have been a little bit slower to recover from a profitability point of view. We have seen activity levels at the bank not quite up to pre-COVID levels, and we do think that that will take a bit of time. Think of transactions at restaurants and also travel and leisure in general is still quite a bit below the levels that they were pre-COVID. And then obviously the lower interest rates is also having an impact on the bank's profitability. So in that sector, I think recovery to profit levels that we saw in 2019 is going to take another 2 years. So that's 2023. On the insurance companies, the second wave of COVID death claims that we saw late last year and early this year has certainly been quite a bit more severe than what the first wave was. and that has put profitability under pressure. There's also quite a bit of uncertainty of a possible third and fourth wave, and that could lead to some further provisioning that is needed. So there's a bit of uncertainty in the insurance sector, and that's keeping some of the share prices under a bit of pressure. And then finally, maybe just one or two comments on property. We certainly see some of the footfall recover in some of the malls out there, but there are other malls around, especially CBDs. Think of Sandton, for instance, where the footfall is not recovered yet. We're still seeing significant negative rental reversions in the retail sector. And then on the office side, there's definitely a bit of a lag on some of the impact on that sector. A lot of the corporates are only seeing about 20% of their professional staff back in the office. And it's still going to take quite a bit of time for those people to return to offices. And we are seeing those businesses now repurposing some of those properties. And they're also now only starting to look at consolidation of office space. So we do think that on the property side, it's probably going to be another 2 or 3 years of difficult conditions for that sector.
Okay. Thanks, Jan. So some positive in certain areas, but still some ground to make up for one or two other sectors. Okay. Thank you. Jan, I'm going to stay with you, and I really want to focus around the area of the small and mid-caps in South Africa. This is an area I know that you focus on very much. Give us your... because there's been some better returns around and better performance. So give us the background there.
Yeah, Nigel, I think I should start off by saying that this area is a differentiator for us and our clients in the portfolios. We have got around 10% allocated in this area, and that's often difficult for our competitors to have an allocation of that size because of liquidity. So in general, we think we've got exposure to some very good quality counters there with strong balance sheets. And I would say on average, those counters are still between 10 and 20% below the share price levels that we saw pre-COVID. And many of them have actually reported earnings in excess of what we've seen pre-COVID. So we still think that there's lots of value there. Just some numbers around that on a normalized PE basis, you're probably looking on average for those shares of numbers below 7 and dividend yields of over 4%. So we still think that there's lots of value in that space.
Okay, fantastic. Putting some of that together, Claude, coming back to you and talking about positioning of the portfolio. I'm going to ask you in a second about global. So, I mean, if you want to touch on that now, but in terms of positioning, how are you set going forward? For the equity fund.
Yeah, thanks, Nigel. I think we're pretty well positioned for some of the themes that we are seeing playing themselves out in this environment. So on the property side, we've got no exposure to property at this stage. And, you know, for many of the reasons that Jan has already pointed out. Having said that, it is a sector that is possibly offering some long-term value. So we are spending a lot more time looking at that sector. We just think the risks at this point still remain elevated and too high. On the retail front, we've got fairly reasonable positions in a number of counters there, including Mr. Price, Pepkor Holdings, and more recently we've added to Woolies and Truworths. On the home improvement side, to some of the other themes that we've highlighted, we've got a fairly large exposure to Italtal. And then within telcos, we see still a lot of value in MTN. And then I think a few comments just generally on domestic SA. We see a lot more value in SA and, let's say, emerging markets relative to the developed world and in particular the US. So our exposure to SA domestic stocks is relatively high now in the portfolio in specific areas where we do see that value. And then finally, it would be remiss of me not to make a few comments on the commodity side. So with the current environment where we're seeing a global recovery in GDP, as well as, let's call it, higher inflation potential, or higher inflation expectations, the so-called inflation trade, you know, this generally is supportive of higher commodity prices in the shorter and the medium term. So our holdings in Anglo, Billiton, Northam, and RB Platts, they have performed relatively well. We are still fairly comfortable with those positions. But we're also aware that these are cyclical sectors, so we need to be aware of the sizing of our positions in that space.
Okay, sure. I mean, you alluded to the valuation comparison between local and global. Has that affected your global holding and positioning right now?
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, obviously, this is more specific to the Denker Sky Equity Fund, where we've actually been reducing our global exposure, mainly on the basis that we believe global developed stocks are relatively expensive. It has been an area that's performed incredibly well for the portfolio, and it's certainly served our clients well. But as mentioned, we do see better value elsewhere, so we have been reducing our exposure to the likes of Oracle, to Samsung, to Alibaba, Medtronic, in favor of an increased exposure to global financials. So we see a lot more value there, as well as reallocating some of that capital to our local positioning. So maybe just to put that in context, we've reduced our global exposure from 30% in the portfolio down to 20%. And of that 20% global exposure, 10% is allocated to the Denker Global Financial Fund, and the rest is really allocated to certain specific stock picks that we do have directly in the portfolio where we see value.
Yeah, sure. So that change there, you've been reallocating that capital back into some of the local ideas that you talked about.
Exactly.
Okay, fantastic. All right, I think we'll leave it there. Thank you both for your input. I know it's been a busy time. Easter holidays coming up. Have a great rest and a good few days. Get the surfboard out. I know you will, Claude.
Definitely.
And Jan, I'm sure you'll have a glass of red along the way. Thanks very much for your time, and we'll see you again soon.
Fantastic. Thanks, Nigel.
Thanks, Nigel.
Cheers, guys.
Appreciate it.
Bye for now.
Ciao.
Thank you for listening to this episode. We hope you found it interesting. If you would like to join us again, please subscribe for more investment insights. To find out more about our team and the funds we offer, please visit our website at denkercapital.com. Please visit denkercapital.com/disclaimers for the full disclaimer relating to the South African fund mentioned in this episode.